Benfica Podcast is one of the founding members of Benfica Independent. Benfica Independent is an independent platform made by fans for fans. And in it, you can find our podcast along with many other podcasts, along with articles of opinion, video segments, and much, much more. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Benfica Independent with exclusive contents for our patrons.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo. Sí, es un club que tiene una grandeza que no se comprende si no estás aquí dentro.
Son de una magia única, benfiquista, que solo nosotros sentimos así. Por muchos desgostos que possamos tener, valores más altos se levantan. O valor mais alto que se levanta em termos futebolísticos chama-se Benfica.
Quero o Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero o manto sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado. E estados, pá! É isso que eu quero!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. We're here. We'd rather not be, or we wish we weren't, but here we are for you. And Cristiano, I appreciate Cristiano being here. Cristiano, I know that you're not feeling well, man, and I appreciate you being here for the fans. I know you already tasked Dave with all the talking tonight. But certainly I appreciate, I'm sure Dave appreciates you being here also, and the fans appreciate you being here.
I love you guys. I love you guys, and it's always an honor to be on with you guys, and in particular when we're talking about our beloved Benfica, even though right now I'm in bad terms.
Benfica's in the doghouse.
Yeah, I don't know if you're in the doghouse or I'm in the doghouse, but somebody's in the doghouse.
Somebody's in the doghouse.
As you said, you know, that I wish we weren't here. No, it's always good to be here. I just wish we weren't here under these circumstances.
Right. Therapy session, as Nino de Oro says, Jason Gaidola, Diogo Reis, all in there already.
All the beautiful people in the Freddy chat room.
That's right.
Appreciate you guys coming here. I know you guys are looking for some relief, as am I. You know, sometimes one of these days, I just want to sit back and listen to somebody else, man. I want to get that therapy session. But nonetheless, smash the like button.
That's
comment.
Right.
Only positive comments about me, by the way. No negative ones. Dave and Alfredo, it's okay if you guys don't comment about them. But yeah, make sure comment, smash the like button. Hit us up, man. Let us know what you're thinking. I know things aren't well right now, but
can't be thinking
Dave,
much.
Dave is ready to give you guys a good session today.
Dave, what's happening with you? What's happening in Canada?
We're suffering through the same Benfica up here as you guys are down south. Nothing changes across the border. So definitely a therapy session in store for tonight. And Chris, you want to listen, but sometimes it's good to get it off your chest too. So we're,
yeah,
it's got to go both ways. We can't just listen. We got to express those negative thoughts and just put them out in the atmosphere.
There's so much else going on, right? My Yankees just made a trade with the Boston Red Sox, which is crazy. Only the seventh in the history. I think after we robbed them of Babe Ruth, I think they didn't want to make many moves with us after that. My New York Rangers are in first place. I can't recall. First place meaning in the whole NHL, the best. Like 1994, I think, is the last time we won the President's Trophy. Or no, I think we might have done it 2008. Well, or no, 2004. One of the years we went to the, well, whatever. Nonetheless, the point is that all my teams are doing well, man, and we're here to talk about things that aren't going so well. Can we make this a hockey podcast today, Alfredo?
Yeah. You can't talk about your Yankees without talking about my Blue Jays and the potential for Shohei there.
He's not going. He's not.
We
going.
Won't get ahead of ourselves.
He's not going. Forget it. He's
we'll
not.
See.
Going.
Yeah.
We'll see.
See, Alfredo, how we just spoke about baseball with a smile on our face. Isn't this much more enjoyable, guys?
Yeah, it's enjoyable for you. I don't know if it's enjoyable for for the audience.
90%.
But certainly, Menino de Oro is saying therapy session. Manny Valadão is saying therapy session. Certainly a therapy session. I think that there is... Go ahead, Chris.
I was laughing. I was like, Manny.
Yeah.
Manny Valadão says, hello, my name is Manny, and I'm a Benfiquista. Laughing my ass out loud. We need you guys to every drop of positivity from the lemon today. Yo, you are Mr. Positivity. Yo, I think you should just hit us up on the chat with Seychelles facts. Because... at least maybe I'll be entertained with that, because I don't know if I can be entertained with anything else that's going on with the scene.
Yeah. Bonsoir, Bruno. I don't even... I forgot how to say welcome.
Just hockey was playing hockey keeper on weekend. Yes.
Yeah, look.
No way Shohei comes to Toronto. See, Alfredo, you be so... we got some Freddies.
Bivinu. Yeah, look, I think that everybody, and if you guys know the history of the podcast, I actually created the podcast because I felt it was a little bit of letting things off my chest, regardless of who I was talking to or whether I was just putting it out there. So I think that this falls right in line with what we usually do here, therapy sessions, especially when things are well, not going
those are
right.
Good times, Alfredo.
Those are good times. Those are good times. Yeah.
For those who I mark. No. I mean, George.
I got when I first started, I think I remember it was just at the end of Kike Sanchez's reign when I first started. Kike Flores, sorry. So that was a rough period too.
That Kike Sanchez period was rough. I don't even remember.
Kike Sanchez. That might have been like deep Vietnam. Holy shit, bro.
Right now,
this is like having three Seferovics.
Seferovic would be a superstar right now.
Where is Seferovic? Seferovic is what? Qatar. Saudi Arabia? Somewhere, Qatar? Somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, but here we are, man. We appreciate you guys joining. I know it's, after that game on, what was it, Sunday? Yeah, after that game on Sunday.
You got the game on Sunday. You got the game...
on Wednesday.
Yeah. I didn't really feel like talking about Benfica, and I just turned off, but here we are again. But on tonight's podcast, we'll look back at the Inter game and that fiasco, that debacle. Also, Mourinho's game, another debacle. And, as you guys could see on the title of the podcast, bad symptoms. I think that we're sick. I think this team is sick. And sick, not in the sick in the traditional way, not in the lingo street talk kind of sick, not that sick. But certainly there's a lot of things that we've been seeing. We've been talking about every week on the podcast. And, people always say, oh, yeah, we're first place and we're still in two competitions and we're still in this and we're still in that. And, we haven't lost any. Great. But the team is definitely sick. And if you don't agree with that, then I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But let's get right into it, right? Inter. Benfica had a chance to kind of redeem themselves at home at Stadio Luge on Wednesday. Played an Inter team who was definitely resting some players. We saw the way they lined up. I think almost the whole 11, and I'm not familiar with Inter, almost the whole 11 were guys that were second stringers or guys that weren't regular. Even the goalkeeper for Inter was like a Taça de Portugal game. They came out with the B teamers and the second stringers. But look, even with the second stringers, we know that they're pretty good. But I thought it was a good time for Benfica to redeem themselves, to Estádio da Luz in front of their fans, needing the points. And just coming off a okay period where you had beaten Sporting, and then what, you beat Famalicão also, right? Was it Famalicão that we beat? And so it was one of those things that maybe the team is picking up some momentum. We'll grab some points like that. We go into match day 6 against Salzburg, which will be next week, and perhaps we could get something going. Before the last match day, and look, the start of the game was really good. Trubin was in goal. Auschner, Silva, Otamendi, Morato, Neves, and Tino, Di Maria, Rafa, João Mário, and Tankstead. Tankstead writing that, or I should say Roger Schmidt writing that Tankstead semi-hot performances that he's had in the past couple outings, and certainly a lot of people say, and I'm included, that regardless of feeling that Tankstead is not a player of caliber, of Benfica caliber, I think that in terms of the game idea, I believe that Tankstead is probably gives more to the team than Cabral or Musa give, but you know, it's still very, very short. Benfica started well, perhaps best first half of the season. João Mário with a hat trick in the first half, 5 minutes, 13 minutes, 34 minutes. And I was sitting there and wondering, where the hell has this Benfica been all season? Dave, thoughts on that first half?
I'm going to go a 180, and I felt dirty watching that.
You felt dirty?
I felt dirty. I felt like it was some match fixation. I know we've had a lot of transactions between Inter and Benfica these last couple of seasons. We got João Mário off of him, even though it was a mutual termination. We've gotten, who was that, Lautaro, not Lautaro, the Austrian player that we had gotten off Inter off alone. Either way, we've had some close relationships with Inter, and this felt like it was some backroom deal where, you know, like, okay, you guys field your B team, we get the positive results so that we can go on and make a case in Europa League. And Inter did that with the B team, and João Mário, you couldn't have written any better. The guy's been nowhere this season, and he scores a hat-trick against his former club. So I was sitting there at halftime feeling dirty, like, this is too much match fixation for my liking, and little did I know I should have enjoyed that first half more than I should have than I did, because it was a complete 180 in the second half there.
Yeah, and Chris, for all the shit we talk about João Mário, hat trick in the first half, right? And you got to think, well, he's playing against his former team, a team that really like just swore him off or just got rid of him because they didn't think he was any good. And maybe he's got something to prove. Three goals. Here we go. All this shit talking about João Mário. He just earned himself another 5,369 starts under Roger Schmidt. What were you feeling that first half, Cristiano? You said, well, okay, well, this is something. This is something I could get behind.
I couldn't have been prouder. I mean, there's a reason why I bought every João Mário shirt possible the last 3 years. I mean, he's absolutely a rock star. I love my guy. I think João Mário, how they say in Portuguese, tem uma espinha atravessada.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure if there's ever a game that he wanted to perform and do well was in a game like this, obviously, against his former club. And he performed. Thankfully, he performed in the first half. I just wish the coach was matching his effort there, was awake at halftime, and particularly in the second half. But yeah, I mean, Benfica came out in the first half. They proved that they wanted to, at the bare minimum, stay alive in the Europa competition, European competition. And Benfica played well. We all understood coming in that Inter was going to do some type of squad rotation. They played with a majority of backups. But nonetheless, still players that playing at Inter Milan, still very good players. And Benfica showed up. Benfica showed up to play. They created chances. They scored. They controlled the game for the most half, for the most part. And things were going into halftime, man. Things were fabulous. Everything was coming up roses. We were ecstatic.
Stop the count.
I was actually naive enough or stupid enough, whichever one you want to use, to think, like, I'm sitting there and thinking, like, hey, oh, like, this is going to change the story around the world. People are outside looking at Benfica beating Inter. They're not going to know it's against the backups. They're like, oh, look, Benfica came to play. Respeitinho. Bro, I should have just waited, kept that thought for after the game, because I think I jinxed.
Yeah, second half, a completely different story, right? And Inter came out and they wanted to play. I think I There was an interview of one of Inter's players, and I forget who it was, but Bisic, which had played at Vitória Guimarães, if I'm not mistaken. And it was they were interviewing him, and he was saying that the team was really, really upset at halftime. And sure enough, they came out, and 52nd minute, 3-1, 58th minute, 3-2, 72nd minute, 3-3. And this whole time, Roger Schmidt is just a spectator. First substitution.
The minute they score that first goal,
yeah,
Roger Schmidt has to get on the horn.
The first 15 minutes, you got to get on the horn. How can you sit by and watch that? They were clearly better.
Didn't they score before the 50? How long?
52nd minute and 58 minutes. Okay. So inside the first 15 exactly. minutes.
So forget 15, Alfredo. That was 7 minutes in. That's what I'm saying. As soon as that goes, you don't got to wait 15. Seventh minute, as soon as they score a goal, Di Maria has to come off the field. He has to make the proper adjustments. And it's one thing that we've seen from Roger Schmidt going into last season. And I'm tired of repeating this. Really tired of repeating. Last season, we gave him the benefit of the doubt because we thought this club was not deep enough. This year, we have options. You might think they're great. You might think they're not so great. But at the end of the day, we have options. And he chooses to sit there on the sideline, looking into the clouds. And he's doing everything but realizing what's going on the field. And the worst coach that you can possibly have, and this goes back to Rui Vitória when we had him at Benfica, and they're on a podcast, and it's going off on this guy. The worst coach you can have is a coach that cannot read the game, that cannot adapt, yeah. that can't make the right changes and moves in order to stop us from leading. And it was just Di Maria was out of it. And I'm not trying to pick on Di Maria, but that was one of the most obvious ones. And he's walking around the field. And Roger Schmidt is just sitting there content
yeah.
without making moves. And I just don't understand it, guys. I do not understand what's going on with Roger Schmidt. I don't understand what's going on with the players. But some players, João Mário came to play that game. Some players, they're just going through yeah. the motions, man. And I know we've talked a lot about this, well, years past. And I think a couple weeks ago, we were talking about it here on the podcast. About how has he lost the locker room, right? And I don't want to start no rumors, no controversy, but it seems like there's something that's just not matching, whether it's the coach or the players. But they're just out of sync, man. I don't like the look on this team. I don't like the look on the coaching staff, and there's just too many negatives at once, man. In this club, I understand they're not good enough, as I've said before. Not good enough to win the Champions League or even the Europa League, but at least in the Tugão, bro, they have enough players, enough pieces to do better than what they're doing. At least perform better than what they're performing. Give us a little bit more action, more entertainment. They did so in the first half against Inter Milan.
Yeah.
In the second half, they went back to what? And at the same time, look, what's his name? Inzaghi, right? Made some changes.
He made some adjustments, yeah. And he made some changes.
He saw that Benfica was there to be had, and he started inserting some of his regulars into the lineup because he saw there's a point, or even yeah. possibly three. That game, had that game gone another 5 minutes, Benfica winds up allowing the fourth goal. And he realized that this is their opportunity, and he took it. And Roger is just sitting there
that's
like,
the
yo.
Difference.
Good job. Yo, it's pouring rain, bro. You still can see through all this rain, and you still – fantastic. And he's clapping. I mean, he had to be. He had to be amazed by what this coach was doing. So amazed that he was starstruck because he sat
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's the difference. The difference between a real coach is the real coach could read the game. And if you can't read the game, you have guys on the bench. You got guys up on the rafters who have an eagle's eye, and no pun intended there, an eagle's eye on in terms of what's going on, the positioning. How are Inter finding pockets of space? How are they getting behind Benfica? How are they beating Benfica? There's guys up in the rafters with that type of view that we wouldn't normally have. Or even you could say Roger at the touchline doesn't have those types of views. But as a coach that has coached at the highest level, and I'm not saying that he's coached in La Liga or Premier, But he's coached in Champions League play. He's coached in Germany. He's coached in the Netherlands. He's a coach, right? You can't just say that. Oh, this guy just came up through there. He's a coach. Coaches need to be able to read games and need to be able to make moves to adjust. And I understand when you don't have the depth that you're saying, well, who's gonna play now? Who am I going to get in? The bench is going to make a difference. But he's got options. He does have options. And that's the thing. As Cristiano mentioned, last year the issue was that we didn't have the depth. This year we have the depth. So now what? What can you do with the depth and the talent that you have? But, yeah, 3 goals. And the third goal was in the 72nd minute that tied it up. And Inter kept coming. And in the 79th minute, he makes a double change with Kökçü and Musa coming in for Tino and Tankstead. And then 90 plus minute, he puts in Chiquinho for Jomari and Gouveia for Di Maria. That's how you do it. 90 plus. How many times have we seen that 90 plus substitution by Roger Schmidt? So at that point, he could have been wasting time, right? Saying, I'll take the draw. I don't care. I'll take the draw.
Spoken to people after the game who are very critical of those two substitutions, the 98th or 99th, whatever it may have been. And I said, I was able to change everyone's mind because I actually said, guys, I understand what you're saying, but I think here, if Benfica hadn't gotten a red card, I'd be on board with you guys. But due to the fact that Antonio Silva got his second red card in 3 games in the Champions League, I forget that. I think at that moment, he was just happy to get away with the point because it kept Benfica alive. If Benfica wins the next game by whatever many goals, they're still through. So I think Roger at that time was being calculus and said, oh, wait. Yeah. One, I'm not losing. Look, let's get out of here with a point because, one, we're alive. Two, it's better a draw than...
Yeah, and the...
3-0. So I think he made a calculated...
Yeah,
decision.
and
I do think he was wasting time. I think he's wasting time.
In the context of things, there's news we're traveling from Salzburg also that the Real Sociedad was tying Salzburg, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, they did. They wound up tying.
So if we lose the game, we're definitely out. With Salzburg, if the game finishes in Salzburg like that, we're out. So I can understand that, but you got to be able to make adjustments much earlier. And somebody, Nick Valadon, was saying here, Benfica after 90 did an interview with a PSV fan when we hired Roger and asked what was his biggest flaw. His answer was taking too long to make substitutions. And we have learned this. And I guess we're, in some way, shape, or form, we've kind of gotten used to it, that it's almost like a joke now that we're taking over or unders when Roger Schmidt is going to make his substitution, at what minute of the game is going to make his substitution. It's turned into something that's acceptable as a joke. But in terms of how you're seeing this team and having guys on the bench, which from my couch, I could say this guy will add something. And they have proven that they will add something when they come into the game with 5 minutes to play. Me seeing that and Roger not being able to see that, this is the most frustrating thing as a fan that you could possibly have, because you're looking at a coach who, I don't know, maybe he went in the locker room for physical call and he didn't come back. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, but it's just, this has to stop. Somebody has to do something about it. I don't understand. I don't know. Dave. I don't know. I don't think I want to talk more about this game.
What's more to say?
That's it. Exactly.
Peaceless.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Is for how much? And look, I'm not a subscriber to the fact that at the first sign of things going wrong or that you fire the coach, because I think that the constant carousel of coaches at teams, they don't provide consistency, they don't provide a base that you could work on. But certainly somebody has to talk to this man, somebody, because
I'm just looking through Roger's past here, because you said that he hasn't
I've known that he was always late making substitutions. That was something that came up.
Not only before. That, but so we extended him to what, 2026, at the middle of last season. But he's
not the middle, three quarters of the way.
But he's never stayed more than three seasons with one club in his past coaching career. So whether that's him or him getting the boot because he got fired by Bayern Leverkusen there, and then he went off to China, and then at PSV. They let him go at the end of the contract. So he's never been one to kind of stay and plant roots in one town. And not, like I said, that's not, I don't know if that's his doing or
I don't see
how the roots continue to grow here. But
seeing,
getting ahead of ourselves.
Seeing what we've been seeing, right? And understanding that this is Roger Schmidt. This is who Roger Schmidt is. It doesn't surprise me that a team like PSV just let his contract run out. They've had enough shenanigans. They didn't want to pay him. Let the contract run out. We'll take our losses and we'll restart. But now we're in a situation that if we don't keep with Roger Schmidt until 2026, which is when Rui Costa offered his renewal to, we run the risk of having to pay a large sum of money to this guy.
Yeah, just to sit at home.
To sit at home. I don't know. I'm at my wit's end, to be honest with you, Roger Schmidt. And it wasn't just this intergame. It's been this whole season. He has shown something that it really infuriates me in terms of a fan. Just the way that the team is playing, the way that he doesn't touch the teams. And I don't want to yet believe that there's a movement in the locker room to kind of go against them, that there's factions. I don't know if there is. I would like to think no. But the thing is that we can't continue with a guy like this. But now we're stuck. We're stuck till 2026. Dave, you want to give some stats so we can move on to the next topic?
Yeah, João Mário is the first Benfica player to score a hat-trick in the current Champions League format. And Shiku had posted this in the chat there, but first time in Benfica's history that they've blown a 3-0 lead at home. So historically bad performance there in the second.
Yeah. And look,
before you move to the next game, Dave, I wanted a quick question because you brought up Lázaro before.
Yeah,
I have a question. Would Lázaro be the starting right back?
Sure.
Oh my God.
Sure.
I guess who else
I'll take
there?
Gilles Diaz at
right. He gets it by default, right?
Yeah, I'll take Gilles Diaz at right back. I'll take Maite at right back at this point. Fuck. Mm-hmm. What is going on, man? What is going on? And it's just, and a lot of people making the argument, you know, we got robbed. We got a couple calls that didn't go our way. Portuguese teams always got fucked. You know, the thing is that you.
That is true, though.
There's some validity to that, Chris.
I have to blow that whistle right now because, look, at the end of the day, the way this club has performed, they don't deserve our backing.
And that's
right?
The thing.
In terms of excuses. And not our back, but excuses are being brought up because we haven't played worth this shit. But if you go back to the first game in Milan where David Neres was clearly, I mean, that was as clear a penalty as can be, and yet the referee calls a goal kick. It wasn't even a goal corner. It was nothing. It was a terrible, terrible decision. We saw last year with the handball situation. You see Porto, Sporting Braga against Real Madrid at Bernabeu. There was a penalty. And Sporting Braga missed it, but like literally 5 minutes later, there was another clear. It was like a body check, a hockey body check, right? That was a clear penalty. That didn't go. I think Portuguese teams get jobbed in the champion in European competition. Now that being said, there's still no excuse for this team because we haven't played worth a shit all year long. So they don't deserve our defense in that matter.
Yeah, I think that. You want to grab onto something as an excuse? You can't use that as an excuse. Yes, Portuguese teams get treated like the Famalicões and the Arocas and the Boa Vistas of the Portuguese League. They don't get the calls against the big teams. That is something that's to be expected, right? You want fairness from the referee, but when in doubt, the referee is probably going to lean to the team that has the most pull in Europe, right? And Benfica right now is not in that type of status. So it's just, look, you want to look at it and you want to, you know, excuse the shitty-ass performance by Benfica and Roger Schmidt's on top of it on referee mistakes and choose to ignore that the team is bad, the team is sick, the team needs help, and then fine, be that way. But you're going to continue to kind of hide those things away, sweep it under the rug when there's something that needs to be done about this team and the way we're performing and the way we're being coached. And I the thing that surprises me the most is that our president, right, former player, locker rooms in the world. You could say the pinnacle was Milan, right? But he's been and shared locker rooms with plenty of players, different styles of players, different egos, has seen many coaches throughout his career. He has to know or has to do something about what's going on. So whether it's a player problem or whether it's a coach problem, I think Rui Costa, being a footballing man that he is, I expect him to be addressing this thing. Now, I don't know if he's doing it or not, but I think being a former football player and a guy that knows football and a guy that knows the inner workings of a locker room, a guy that knows the dynamics of the coach's relationship with the different players and with the different egos, he should be addressing that. I don't know. Chris, am I the only one that feels this way? What do you think? Rui Costa, as a former footballer, what do you think right now it's going through his head?
But I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But that's not his... He's in a presidential role. His role now, he has to think outside the box. At the end of the day, he is the one that gave Roger Schmidt. That was in a rush to give him a three-year extension.
Right.
And there's only
and I
so
think that's,
much...
That's part of the
Sorry,
problem.
Chris, that's where I think ego... This is where ego comes in, right? Because this was his first coaching hire as the president. He gave him the extension, so... Now he's got to pick. He's got to factor in the financial situation. This isn't just about plug another coach in and see if we can get the guys to work, right? Like we mentioned, Roger's going to be paid either whether he's coaching or if he's sitting at Germany. He's going to be getting paid till 2026. So it's not just as simple as, okay, we need a new voice or we need some new tactics to get in there. So. And I think ego plays a factor into this, too, because it was his first.
What I add, that's okay. What I was going to add is that, look, I understand us fans expect Rui Costa to be going into the locker room and speaking to players, and I think he speaks to these guys on a daily basis. But at the same time, I can see Rui as one of those guys that gives the coaches space. I don't know if it's the right time to do so or not, but can't just keep going into the locker room as if the coach has no authority. Like, you know what I'm saying, Alfredo?
I get that.
Totally what you're saying, but he, at the same time, he has to be calculated, man. He has to be smart about when to do it, you know, because at the same time, if you keep doing it over and over, the players at some point are going to turn their head. So I think he has to pick his moments, and right now, if not after Wednesday, he better be having this conversation on Sunday. We'll get into that game in a bit. But, yeah, I just – look, I get what you're saying, as I said before, but I'm not sure if he's doing that as much as we'd like, man. Because,
yeah.
Again, he has a coach. Rui's the type of guy. He gets you to come in. You're going to run the team. You call the shots. You do what you have to do. Rui said it multiple times. He is not the one picking the players. He doesn't pick the starting 11. That's totally up to the coach.
And he shouldn't.
And again, he shouldn't, exactly. But – no, we've had, I don't know how many times throughout this season with disappointing results that we've had moments where Rui could have gone into the locker room And now it's just a matter of how many times he's going to keep doing it. Is he going to want to overstep, you know, show his leadership, I should say, or like, you know, but at the same time, he's got a coach in place.
Right.
So it's.
And I get that. I get that. The leash is probably gotten much shorter than what the original length was, Roger Schmidt. And I think that's a fair thing to say without even knowing.
I don't know, man. Did it seem. We'll talk about the game, but in the post game press conference or the flash interview on Sunday, did it seem to you that Roger was? I don't know if you had a chance to see it, to watch it, or you, Freddy's. I'll ask you, Freddy's. Did it seem to any of you guys that like Roger was worried? He didn't look like a man that was worried. He didn't look like a man that just dropped 2 points.
No, he's been
like a man castigando.
He's been questioned already of whether he felt his job was safe a couple pressers back. He's been asked that, and he said, I got the contract, and my plan is to fulfill that contract. He's been asked that. But you're right. But the thing about his pressers that are so frustrating is, like, he watched another game. Then you and everyone else watched. I don't get it. I don't get it. Moving on.
Bro.
From bad to worse.
Is on the right path.
The team is on the right path.
Last Dave didn't wait. That's what you sprang out last week, right? On a press conference, that the team's on the right path. None of us knew to where, but according to him, they're on the right. If this is the right path to him, then we got some serious problems, lady.
The right path is like the buffalo being walked to the cliff by the Native Americans and just jumping off the cliff to their death. Moreirense, Benfica traveled up to Moreira de Cónegos to play Moreirense this past Sunday in a game that we felt was going to be tough for Benfica. Moreirense is holding a respectable position on the table. They have only lost to Sporting, Porto, and Braga, if I'm not mistaken. So they've been playing well, a team that scores quite a bit of goals. So we anticipated a little bit of a tough match for Benfica, lined up with Trubin, Auschner, Silva, Otamendi, Muratu, Neves, Tino, Di Maria, Rafa Tengstedt, and João Mário were on the starting 11. And quite frankly, first 10-12 minutes of the half, it was all Moreirense. Like, where the fuck is Benfica? And again, it was tough, man. It was just tough. They hit the crossbar inside the first 12 minutes. Then we had the Florentino, who is, I don't know, I think he just closed his eyes and let the ball hit off of his forehead. And it went. He did the hardest thing, was head the ball out of bounds rather than head it into the goal. We had the Di Maria shot in the 19th minute. We had the Tengstedt shot in the 30th. We also had that near miss or header by Muratu, who seemed to feel the goalie was coming out, closed his eyes, completely missed the ball, didn't score. But again, awful stuff from Benfica with Moreirense. They've Moreirense, Dave. When do these teams? I'm baffled, man.
We had said that before the game. They were a team that was strong defensively. Didn't score a lot of goals. I think they've only still scored 14 through the first 12, but they've only conceded 10 through the first 12 too. They've only conceded one more than we have all season. So you got to give credit to them. They were organized well in the back. And what shocked me was what they produced up front. They were also lacking a clinical finisher up front, because really they should have had at least two or three goals there in the first half with those chances that they created, but they were missing their finishing boots as well. But I don't know what else to say about us. Rafa's gone MIA. I think it's fair to say. I don't think there's any contract that's being offered our way to him, and maybe that's playing a role in his. He's probably just going through the motions, hoping not to get injured so he can sign a lucrative contract at the end of the year. But that guy's gone MIA. As much as Di Maria is a game changer, He can also be a ghost for a majority of the game, and he offers nothing on the defensive end, too. So Moreirense was capitalizing on that and targeting that side of the pitch on their counterattacks, and just lots of questions with this this Benfica squad that I saw on Sunday, and not enough answers, unfortunately.
Yeah. So teams into the locker room, 0-0. Come out of the locker rooms, and surprising enough, Roger Schmidt made two substitutions. Chiquinho and Coxu came in from João Neves and Tino, and a substitution that he later explained in a post-game presser or flash interview that he felt that both Tino and João Neves had a very tiring game against Inter, and they felt that they just weren't, that energy wasn't there. Like he said, I was looking for different energy. So he put Chiquinho in and Coxu in, and things that did get a little better in terms of the way how Benfica progressed on the field. With Coxu, you have the vertical pass ability. You have different passing choices that he can make, the passes that he can make that neither Tino or Neves aren't able to make. And it changed a little bit. Di Maria with the shot at 49th minute. But still, Moreirense always very comfortable, always able to exploit Benfica's weaknesses. In the 72nd minute, Cabral came in for Tengstead. And then Benfica had a goal called back for an offside. And then Guedes and João Vitor came in for João Mário and Murato. And I forget what minute that was, but that was late, if I'm not mistaken. I remember laughing at the TV as these guys came in. Dave, can you check the substitutions?
87th minute.
So Gonçalo Guedes and is coming in the 87th minute, and João Vitor is refreshing Murato in the 87th minute. So great.
João Vitor's days were numbered. I thought
yeah.
He was going to play.
Whatever. I thought his days were numbered when he almost broke his ankle.
Oh, you mean before he even came in?
When he came in.
What do you mean in this game?
Yes.
When he broke his own ankle.
When he almost broke his ankle. He was trying to do a move and he just slipped and fell and lost the ball. And the Moreirense defender just came and took the ball from him because he just tumbled. He just like crossed his feet or something. There's a meme on the internet somewhere about that whole play with João Vitor. It's laughable, man. It's fucking laughable. And quite frankly, I want to laugh because I don't want to cry. But again, a team powerless, a team that defends well at times, but then lacks that spark of creativity up front, lacks wing play, lacks a lot of things, lacks a lot of ideas, lacks urgency, lacks intensity in that final third. And I don't know. I can't get through my head after seeing what we saw last year at times from Benfica in terms of the high press, the intense press, and it can't all be excused on Gonçalo Ramos is gone, Grimaldo's gone, Enzo's gone. Fuck that. This season is another day. Forget those fucking guys. You got to find solutions. You got to find a way to turn this shit around because this is ugly. This is ugly. This is not, I don't want to go through the rest of the season like this, watching these games and just like feeling, dirty almost, like Dave would say, feeling fucking dirty, man. I don't know, man. It's not good, Dave.
Are we going to just, not even touch about the elephant in the room, and I say that tongue in cheek with Cabral because fuck, our $20 million man, we didn't even mention him at all. We didn't even mention him at all in last week's podcast.
Dave,
we're about 40 minutes in, and we're about to. I'm bringing him up here, but I'm just stunned at some of those crosses into the box there, and he makes poor decision. Like he's turning his body, his legs, he's going in and out. Where all he just has to do is stick a foot or stick some sort of body part other than his legs on that ball, and it's going to net. But this guy's doing Cirque du Soleil figurines in the box there. And but there was at least two times there in the last minutes of the of play there where he just needs to get a toe or, like I said, just something on that, and the ball's more than likely going in the net, and he's going left when he should be going right. And God,
it's not good. But I think that no. I think that we've all three of us and everyone else have beaten the investment to talent ratio on Cabral, on Jurasek, on a couple of the guys. So I don't know. I think that's already
Jurasek doesn't even make the lineup.
Is already an acquired fact, right? But I actually envy Cristiano because I know that Cristiano was out to an out. Well, Cristiano, was it a wedding or you were out on Sunday and you weren't really watching the game from the comfort of your couch?
Fortunately. No. Unfortunately, I was watching it where I was at. That's what I'm trying to say.
Sitting at the table. You had the phone in one hand and the Tintol on the other hand.
100 people in the room celebrating a beautiful celebration. And I'm sitting there watching this freaking misery. And I wish I hadn't. I really do. I really do wish that at times my Benfica, I could just ignore it. But
yeah,
I can't. And to watch performances like that, efforts like that, honest to God, man, I'd rather watch highlight videos of the times from the Rui Boom.
Yeah,
I think that's a lot more entertaining. It's really hard to swallow what's going on with this team.
Yeah,
everything I said before about Inter Milan, the game against Inter Milan, I can say here, it just looks like a team. Well, except the first half of Inter, but second half looks like a team out of ideas, a team not interested, a coach that looks like he'd rather be somewhere else than on the sidelines. The big time players aren't performing to expectations. You talk about Cabral. Everybody likes to pile on Cabral, and I'm in no way defending him. But my thing on Cabral is, if I'm Roger Schmidt and I see that the noose is tightening around my neck, I'm throwing Cabral out there plus 10 more. I'm just leaving the guy in there to rot. I don't care if he's tired. I'm not taking him out. I'm like my man. You know how you see those videos of parents throwing 6-month-olds into pool. And they figure out, and the kids come out, and like, I would never do that to my children. You know what I mean? Like, but that looks scary. But the kids, they figure out, they swim. You know what I mean? And like, that's what I would do to Cabral. I would throw them into the deep end and just turn my back and like, my man, figure it out. Because at the end of the day, if he doesn't perform, like he's not performing now, but I'm, once I throw him into the deep end, if he doesn't perform, I could turn around and say, guys, what do you want me to do? I spent $25 million on a player, and he's not performing. We're paying him a very hefty salary. And it's like I'm kind of washing my hands by doing that. Instead, Rodgers is assisting on Tinkstead, who we know is not Benfica caliber. Busa is not Benfica caliber. And it looks like Cabral is not Benfica caliber. He's the only one that's kind of still up in the air. But I would absolutely just throw him in there. And, yo, guys, listen, do what you got to do. At some point, Roger Schmidt has to put these big-name guys, these big-name signings on the field. They have to perform. And if they don't, obviously, they're not the players Benfica thought they were acquiring, one or two. Roger Schmidt cannot get the best out of these players, which, at the end of the day, it points to one thing, in my opinion. Whether if it's the players that are not as good as we expected, need to be made, and if Roger can't get the best out of these guys, changes need to be made there as well. I just don't understand what it's going to take for the Direção to realize that, okay, look, we made a mistake, and sometimes it's okay to look in a mirror and say, mea culpa. I mean, I fucked this up. Right? But the club cannot continue in the direction that they're in, and I understand guys don't want to see move after moves, and I get it that Sir Alex Ferguson in today's game would have never lasted to become the legendary coach he was at Manchester United, because fans like myself would be calling for his sacking right away. But I don't think Roger Schmidt is any Alex Ferguson in the making. I just see a coach there that doesn't, I don't know if he doesn't understand or he doesn't want to see it, but at the end of the day, Benfica has to make a decision how far they're going to let this go. I mean, we're 2 points back now in a very important year that I keep telling everybody here on the podcast. Only one team guaranteed. The money's huge. Benfica cannot fall out of this race. And so they're going to have to make a decision here. I know we have very important games. We play Farense next, and then Sporting Braga after that. Sporting has some very difficult games themselves. But if Benfica doesn't perform, Roger Schmidt might not make it to Christmas, guys.
Yeah, I think he will make it past Christmas. I think he will make it past Christmas.
If Sporting wins both of their games against Porto or whatever, you think, and Benfica drops points?
This week alone, this stretch alone, if we have a poor performance against Salzburg and then followed by Braga right after, if we get two poor performances, I think he's definitely on the hot season.
Because those games, losing those games, the implications are you're now out of European competition, which I don't know if it's not a blessing worst. In disguise, yeah. Or not. And then losing against Braga, who we drew on the next round for the Portuguese Cup, you'd be out of the Portuguese Cup. You would be out of European play. And that's a big blow for Benfica's goals that you set in the beginning of the season. So I think at that time, Rui Costa will have to assess on whether or not he's going to continue to allow Roger Schmidt to stay.
The Braga game
is on the 10th, right?
That's for league. That's not for the TAS. Oh,
the TAS is the TAS in January. Yeah. So we got
bigger implications here.
We got Ferenc and we got Braga afterwards.
Braga and then AVS
for the League Cup.
Feijão TAS, yeah, and then Famalicão end off the year for the league. And we're into January after that.
Right. So, yeah, but then we got also a game against Braga, I think, and I misread that. It's January 10th. January 10th. I don't know. I think it's – I understand, Cristiano, where you're coming from in terms of what Rui Costa's approach is. And I think that a president should never be overbearing on a coach and on a coach's moves or decisions. You're going to give them the freedom that you to do the job that you hired them for.
Here's the thing. You know when you're remodeling a bathroom, your house, or you're trying to get, you need new tires in your car, and then you go cheap, but ultimately it comes out expensive because the cheap sucks and you're going to have to get the real good shit eventually?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to have to redo that bathroom again because you went cheap. Right. Everything's falling apart, right? And Benfica's in a situation just like that. By being cheap, by not wanting, let's say that there is truth behind the fact that they have to pay him $27 million to let him go, right? By being cheap right now, not letting him go, might cost you $100 million in the long haul. So it might cost you even more later on. So he has to make that decision. You get what I'm saying? Like, is it worth keeping this guy because he's going to turn things around? And again, he's given us no indication ever since Enzo Fernandez left this team that he could turn this team around, that he could have these guys playing football like he did in the first half of his first season. Like, what do we do? Do we let this guy go because things are not going to just turn around overnight, guys? And so by wanting to save $27 million, it might cost you $100 million a few months later. So,
and who are we bringing in as his replacement, though? Are we going to it is what it is and saving money by keeping an internal hire? Are we trying
I think it's very difficult to bring in the coach that you want, but I think Benfica can't afford, especially if they make this move before the new year or whatever, like right in the beginning of January, they can't afford to go. It's even because there's still a lot of season to go. They can't afford to go with a coach like that. They'll bring in somebody with experience for 6 months. Like, you know, one of these guys that has links to Benfica that's doing the service to Benfica for 6 months, and then in the offseason, they'll go after the Abel Freitas, the Paulo Fonseca, somebody like that. I think the next coach at Benfica will be a Portuguese manager. I don't think they're going to go through this shenanigans once again with a foreigner anytime soon. But normally they go Portuguese, foreigner, whatever. So I think you'll see a Portuguese guy coming in. But that's a good question, Dave. I can't answer right now. I don't really know anybody off the top of my head. But I'm pretty sure there are guys available that will gladly take on Benfica for 6 months. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Good call by Jason Guaidola, Luizão, or Javi as an interim. I'd take Javi as an interim.
They have no experience, Alfredo. I just
said, I know they have no experience, but I'd rather take him if the other choice is Verissimo.
Bruno likes Marco Silva. I do too, but I don't think Marco Silva is going to leave.
No, Marco Silva is not. No. Yeah.
No, but I can see. I actually had this conversation with Hugo today. I can see Benfica at the end of the year make. Like I said, it's. Abel's going to be on the table, be in conversations.
No, Abel is done, dude. Abel is done. Abel is about to sign the biggest contract the coach has ever signed.
Until he does, it's just.
Chris, I have it on good sources that deal is practically done.
Não sabes mais que eu. Então, esquece. Marco Silva and Paulo Ferreira will be two guys on top of the table, I believe, at the end of the season.
Paulo Fonseca?
Yeah. Paulo Fonseca is at Lille right now.
Paulo Ferreira. That's the singer, right?
Oh, my bad. I don't even know. Paulo Ferreira. I don't even know.
No idea.
Jorge Ferreira, pa.
Jorge Ferreira. Jorge Ferreira is the singer. That's right.
Paro Preto. That's all I know. I don't know that.
I couldn't tell you. Anyway, Dave.
Nuno M is saying Bruno Lage. Yeah, he's available.
Yeah, he sure is.
And Rui Bomba, isn't he?
Rui Bomba is available?
Maybe we can have the second coming of Bruno Lage taking over the team in January and taking them to the promised land.
Carvalhal just signed with Olympiacos.
Yes.
Anyway, Dave, you got any more stats so we can move on? You got stats on this game so we can move on? Depressing stats?
Yeah, first time this season Benfica has failed to score in the Portuguese league in a match. And last season, Benfica only failed to score on 4 occasions across all competitions, and they've already matched that total this season with 3 scoreless in the Champions League and now the 1 here in the Portuguese League this past weekend.
Beautiful. Up next, Valence is this weekend. Actually, Friday, 6 p.m., since Benfica is playing on Tuesday against Salzburg. Farense, newly promoted Farense. What's Farense up to this year, Dave?
They're currently in 8th with 16 points from 5 wins, 1 draw, 6 defeats. They've scored the 5th most goals this season in the league with 21 through their first 12 matches. 3 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss in their last 5 league matches. And historically, 36 wins, 11 draws, 6 defeats. 3 wins, 2 draws in our last 5 meetings.
Yep. Abola Caderns, there's a Brazilian reporter that is reporting that he has it from a very good source from Saudi Arabia that deal is about done. And he is going to be introduced, I think either the 2nd of January or the 5th of January, his whole team is going to be introduced in Saudi Arabia as the new coach of Al Saad. So if you want to take that note so then we could talk then, and you could I could tell you, and you could tell me whether my source was reliable or not. But anyway, Ferenc.
How's that a source?
Huh?
Did you see a Brazilian reporter? That's your source?
My source,
Fabrizio, told him.
My source is the Brazilian Fabrizio. Now I got a source from.
I know who it is. I think I know who it is. But he's just talking about Brazilian reporters, so he threw me for a loop.
Yeah. So.
But I know your source. Am I right?
Yeah. I think so. No, I think it's a done deal. I think it's a done deal. I think that they. These Saudi Arabia teams, they don't just fucking throw their names out there. They're mean business. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. So I don't know how I would feel about Abel, to be honest with you, because I think he's a little team coach. He's not a coach that has the pedigree to deal with certain egos. He's a guy that's ultra motivator. He's a guy that can motivate your pillow to give you a good night's sleep. But in terms of handling egos, I don't know if he's that type of guy. Yeah, for instance, Salzburg is up on Tuesday with an all or nothing for Benfica to play in terms of Europa League. Have to beat Salzburg by 2 goals, right? Is that
2 goals?
What does it? Yeah, right. So there's a couple tiebreakers that will basically have to come into play, but Benfica will have to win that game by 2 goals. I struggle to think that Benfica, who has not been a scoring machine this year, will be able to score at will. They were able to score at will against Inter, but I think Salzburg is a different story. Salzburg will be a different story.
That's not my problem. I don't think we're able to score without conceding goals, too. So I think we're going to at least concede one, and then there you're going to have to score at least 3 goals, which yeah. It's on both ends, not conceding and then having to go score as well.
Look, I think if we're going to suffer for the rest of the season, let it just be domestically. I don't want to build up my hopes with the team going into the Europa League and that competition resuming play, I think, either end of February or beginning of March, and then thinking that Benfica actually has a shot of going deep. According to Hugo, we do, as we are, and he feels that there's going to be a great deal of improvement from now until the end of February. Look, at this point, I just want the team to show me a sign. Roger, show me a sign that this is not what we're in for the rest of the season. Because if it is, it's gonna be painful. It's gonna be Rui Bombo painful. It's gonna be Verissimo times two painful. Laj painful. JJ painful. It's not gonna be good. Not gonna be. And
you know what that means, right? The fish rots from the head down.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but yes, I agree.
Não sabes o que é que isso quer dizer?
No.
Quer dizer que o leadership, bro, the presidents, they gotta get our house in order.
Yeah, but that's okay because that audit is coming out soon.
Who?
The audit. Soon, it's coming up soon.
In time for next elections, right?
What's gonna come first? The Roger Schmidt substitution in the 55th minute. Like, not forced due to injury or that audit.
It's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. That's split right down the middle. Albeit, he made a substitution.
Roger's gone before we get that audit. I'll say that one.
Yeah, what's the... That's the wager. What comes first? Roger firing or the audit? Because this is the thing, right? This whole time, if Benfica was champion, everybody forgot about the audit. Everybody forgot about those shady deals that Vieira was doing that apparently Rui Costa, who is part of the structure, should have known about it. Or was he just too stupid not to see it? Or did he just ignore it? Right? So while the season was going well, and look, I'm a Rui Costa supporter. I hope he does well, and I hope he's a great president for Benfica, right? Even though I didn't vote for him. The thing is that while the season was going really well, things were flowing, Benfica's winning games, we were setting records, we were getting first in group stages of the Champions League. We had a semifinal, quarterfinal run into the Champions League. Everything is fine. Nobody's questioning anyone. But now that things are bad, it won't be too long until Rui Costa starts being questioned. Where's the audit, dude? So
while they're doing the audit on that, let's get an audit on the Cabral deal.
Guys, are you being facetious or are you guys actually... There was an audit that came out already.
It did. I didn't see it.
No, that's not brincadeira.
No, I'm dead serious.
It came out already.
Okay, send me a link. There was nothing wrong? Seriously. That's what he said?
He found that there was nothing... No, I'm being... Guy, Freddy's, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, there was an initial...
That came out.
It was initial assessment. Not the whole audit. It was an initial assessment that they investigated one of the transfers because they were investigating all the transfers. And the one transfer that they had investigated, they didn't see anything wrong. But I think in terms of a full audit, maybe I'm wrong, man.
I don't like to make sense of this, but I could have sworn they came out and they said...
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think they did, bro. I think they came out with the audit, and they said that there was like nothing wrong with it. There was
it's possible.
Everything was up. I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing you, but I could have sworn there's been a decision made, something like that along those lines.
Yeah.
No, Freddie's actually mentioning it, so I guess I'm just maybe I had a dream about this.
I had a dream too. It was a nice one. Very far from reality. Anyway, let's get out of here. I've had enough. This is a good session. Need to get some shit off my chest. Feel all right now. Dave, how you feeling?
I feel better now after I did leading into this podcast. I was dreading coming in, but it's always like this, right? We dread the hours leading into the podcast, and then once we're here, we're shooting the breeze. We're talking it through with each other and the Freddies, and now I'm back to feeling a little bit better, so... Thank you, Alfredo. Thank you, Cristiano. And thank you for the Freddies for joining us here tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
Bless you guys, because I feel worse.
Well, Chris, you're already feeling worse coming into here. I mean, you got some health issues.
Yeah, well, let's calm down. Let's not make it like that. But yeah, I'm more frustrated now that I actually spent this hour thinking about.
Sorry, bro.
Digested it. You know what I mean? Like, I digested it. I was.
Sorry, bro. You had processed it. You grieved, and you were ready to move forward.
I digested it and just, I shitted it out. I was good.
We just dug everything up for you.
Going through it again, man. Like, it really is frustrating that this club is in the mess that they're in. It's frustrating that these guys will get paid millions of. And again, I'm no smarter than anybody else. I'm the dumbest guy in the room. Oh, God, man, like there's things that are so easy to see, and it's as if they don't want to see it. I mean, these guys have the privilege of wearing the month sagrado, bro, playing at Estadio de Luz, or wherever in the world it may be with that Benfica shirt on. Give me effort. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You guys know me. I'm a fan of guys with Jenga. I don't like those guys that run all day. You know what I mean? Because that's new football nowadays. Just run, 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 and you're a phenomenal player. Like, at the end of the day, you got to kick a ball, bro. You got to be able to know how to control a ball and make a pass. I'm a fan of those types of players, but in tough times, I need that effort out there. And act like you give a shit. And these guys are clearly not in the right state of mind. They don't – it's just another day for them. And it's one thing We hate our rivals from up north. At the end of the day, I think all of us will be in accordance here, which is good or bad. Those guys, they give it their all at all times, and I just want to see that from my team.
Yeah,
I want to see that.
Hey, Chris.
Yo, bust your ass. Go ahead, man.
No, you mentioned Jenga, and I almost forgot about this. Thank you, Diogo Reis, for reminding me. What do you think of Prestiani?
Raw talent, but knucklehead. So let's hope that he.
What about the other guy? Roll Heiser?
I don't know. The other guy is just a rumor. So I don't really want to. He's got. Listen, again, my brother called me about that other guy.
No, whatever Prestiani?
His name is. No. The other kid.
Roll Heiser.
I don't know his name. My brother called me about him, and he's like, "Yo, he's got some jing." And I said, "Yeah, he does, Marcio. But you know, I'm pretty sure if I dig up a highlight video of me, I look great too." You know what I mean? Like, we'll all look great in the highlights. You know what I mean? So, I'm pretty sure you go look at Cabral's highlights. Thanks, Ted's highlights. They look phenomenal. You'd have to see that. I haven't seen the guy play, to be brutally honest. Does he look like he has a nice left foot? Absolutely. He's got some Jenga. Yeah, he's got speed the whole night. He could take free kicks. He is a player we could surely use next year, especially with the Di Marias of the world leaving.
Yeah.
The Ged's not coming back. I'm pretty sure Rafa looks like he's not going to resign.
Yeah.
So we're going to need these guys to come in. Cristiani, I'm really excited about. He is a fantastic 17-year-old, one of the best in the world at the moment. just raw, very raw skill, could do anything he wants with the ball, but a little bit immature, a little bit of a knucklehead. And so hopefully come into Europe, having to put on your big boy pants because you're not going to have your family. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he doesn't. But he's not going to have one. But, you know, you have to take the next step, you know, in becoming an adult, and taking your career to new heights. Hopefully Benfica has the right people, the right infrastructure to get this kid's mind right, because he's got a lot of talent. I know there's some very pissed off teams throughout European football that Benfica was able to beat them to that side.
Yeah, yeah. No, everything that I've read is even Fabrizio post, a lot of the comments on that post were people praising good business by Benfica in terms of grabbing this kid. Yeah. Sheldrew Prest.
Is he one for? Can he be counted on for the second half of this season, or is this for next season only?
I would say next season. I mean, look at what they did with Sheldrew last year.
Yeah,
I would like for him to. I mean, look,
you can only come after his birthday, which is in January.
Yeah, January 31st or something.
Yeah. So
here's the thing, guys. Would you be shocked if right now I left out of my couch, and I got minutes at Benfica? Considering the way everyone else is playing, no, I'm not shocked, right? I won't be shocked if the kid comes in and he takes some minutes from some of these guys that are not performing to the level we all want him to. That would be the icing on the cake. Now, looking at the way, again, we have to look at history, track record. Looking at the way Roger Schmidt treated Sheldrup, that's why I'm going with that. I don't think he's going to count for this.
Yeah, but I think that understanding that these are the plans that we're making, and these are the players that we're looking at, and certainly, and Sheldrup, a player for the future, and this kid, a player for the future, and understanding that out of all the wingers that we have, perhaps we're only going to be left with Neres and Gouveia for next season. I think that's good planning on Benfica's part.
Sheldrup will be back.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that out of the ones that we have right now in roster, only Neres and Gouveia. And Gouveia, I don't know. It doesn't seem.
You don't even know about Gouveia.
Yeah, he didn't count in the beginning of the season. Doesn't look like he counts on him now from the lack of minutes that he's given him. So I don't know if he's going to continue counting for Roger Schmidt. But certainly, if this is the planning that's taking place right now, understanding the losses we're going to have, and I think it's more than 90% guaranteed that Di Maria is going to end up at Rosario, right? I think that's where he wants to go finish off, is at Rosario, and he still wants to give him a good season of contribution. So I can't even fault him for that.
You know, I'll tell you the truth. When I first heard the kid, I still don't know how to pronounce his name, the winger's name, right?
Prestiani? I think it's a Rollhauser. Somebody type in the chat what his name.
Rollhauser, whatever his name is. Yeah,
Rollhauser right? Or some Mike shit Snyder, like that.
Whatever, some shit. When I heard it, Alfredo, I thought it was a right back for this season. I said, oh, right back.
Yeah,
no, we're still getting wingers. We're still getting everything but laterais. We apparently don't need any.
We're getting Malheiro. I think Malheiro is going to come.
Well, the styling, he might be an upgrade to what we have now, but I think, whatever. Let's close this because I'm more frustrated now than before. I'm going to go.
Yeah, let's close it. Freddy's. It was a pleasure having all you guys. If you haven't hit the like button, please hit the like button. Some positivity should come out of this podcast at least. Thank you all of you for being so active in the chat. Lots and lots of you came in. Thank you for everything. Cristiano, thank you for making the sacrifice. I know that you're not feeling well, and I appreciate that. And Dave, always a pleasure. And everyone else, arrivederci, everybody. Take care.